Corinthians chapter 4, we'll read together verse 3 through 6. Verses 3 through 6. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 through 6, the Bible says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Normally, if I preach on a Monday morning, my whole goal is to keep you awake. And when I come here, and I'm going to have a hard time staying awake while I'm up here, I'll have to find something that will keep me awake. And so I want to talk to you today. I suppose if I were to put a title on the message, it would be called Struck Blind. Here the Bible talks about our gospel being hid. And the devil would like to keep the lost person's mind blinded to the gospel. He would rather that they did not see the truth of the gospel and get saved. Every time I think of blindness, I think back when I was just a teenager. I went to the local jail, and I would preach there every Tuesday night. Sometimes four or five times I would preach to men who had not been sentenced, and then men who had been sentenced, and then to ladies, and then I would preach to juvenile boys and then juvenile girls. One evening I'd spoken four times, and my last stop was to talk to the juvenile girls, and the jailer came and said, "Your time's up." And I pulled a gospel tract out of my pocket, and I was walking by the bars right where the juvenile girls were being held. I handed a gospel tract to a young lady, and I said, "Please read this. I've got to go, and I'll come back next week." And I left, and the next week I decided that when I arrived at the jail that I would preach to the juvenile girls first to make sure that I did not miss them in my timing. So I went up, and the girls gathered around, and I preached to them. After I was finished, I turned to a young lady, and I said, "Would you like to receive Christ as your Savior?" And she said, somehow I was talking with her, and she said, are you talking with me? And somehow I didn't understand what she was talking about. I couldn't understand why we weren't kind of getting it together here. And she said, "I'm sorry, sir, I'm blind. And are you talking to me?" I said, "Well, yes, ma'am, you're the one I'm talking to." And she said, "No, I don't want to receive Christ as my Savior." I said, "Is there a reason why?" She said, "Well, I already have." I said, "Well, when did you do that?" She said, "You don't remember me." I said, "No." She said, "Last week, you were up here, and you handed me a gospel tract, and I got saved." I said, "Wait a minute. You're blind." She said, "Yes." I said, "And I handed you a gospel tract, and you got saved." She said, "Yes." She said, "After you left, you had told me to read that, and I knew I couldn't. So I went back to this other girl in her cell, and I asked her to read it to me. And she did, and I got saved." And so for those people that don't think gospel tracts work, they work even for blind people if you just use them. And she got saved that day, and I was excited about it. You know, in the Bible, it's evident the devil wants to keep us blind. I think a person would have to be blind to go to hell, knowing what is in hell. But worse than that, a person would have to be blind to go to hell, knowing what they could have had in heaven, being with God and being with Jesus. God gave us our sight so that we could read His Word. He gave us our sight so we could enjoy His beautiful creation. He gave us our sight so that we could use it to help others. But I was looking one day and studying my Bible about the topic of blindness, and I found four stories of blindness in the Bible where God was in on the blinding. Actually, I would say God struck some people blind. Now, for God to take someone's sight from them because they had done something, I would think that thing must be very vile, must be very wicked, because God gave that person their sight so they could read the Word of God. We sing the song, "Look and live. Look and live, my brother. Look and live. Look to Jesus now and live." And it's such an important song, so scriptural. We sing the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And it's so scriptural and so important. Look to Jesus. Look in your Bible. Look, the fields are white unto harvest. And in my thinking, if God would take someone's sight and actually take it from them because of something that they had done, or allow it to be taken because of something they had done, I would think that would be a very bad thing. I would think that in God's sight, it must have been very evil. And so, very simply today, I want to show you four times in the Bible where I see someone being struck blind. And I think that sin would be very disgusting to God, that God would take someone's sight because of that sin. The first sin that I see in the Bible where someone was struck blind, they were struck blind because of sexual sins. In Genesis chapter 19, if you'll turn there, Genesis chapter number 19, here we see the story of Abraham and Lot. And you've heard the story, I'm sure, over and over again, but I'll rehearse it for myself for just a few minutes. Lot and Abraham parted ways, and Abraham went his way, and Lot went to the place of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was very wicked there. And God had plans on destroying the city because of its wickedness. But someone pleaded with God and said, God, please don't destroy the city. Please don't destroy the city. God, if we were to go there and find 50 righteous people, would you spare the city? And God said, I would. And they said, if we would go there and find 45 righteous people, God, would you spare the city? And God said, I would. And God, if we would go there and find 40 righteous people, would you spare the city? And God said, I would. But God, if we could find 30 righteous people, city, would you spare the city? And God said, I'd spare the city for 30. 20 people, God, if we could find 20 people there, would you spare the city? And God said, I'd spare the city. God, if we could find 10 righteous people in that place, would you spare the place? God said, I would. But the problem was, the place was full of homosexuality and people living like animals and living like beasts, and they could not find those 10 people. Finally, God sent the angels down, and the angels were to go to Lot and lead God out of the city. These angels met Lot down by the gates of the city, and Lot said, come to my home quickly. And all the queers in town started looking at those angels and saying, look, we got some new boys in town. They started following Lot and the angels to Lot's residence. While Lot was trying to get those men into his home, the homosexuals said, we want those angels. And they were trying to knock the door down to Lot's house. They're trying to get in there and take the angels of God to commit a wicked act with them. That's how vile the city was. And how vile Lot was, he said, please don't harm the angels of God. Here, take my virgin daughters. And the Bible says, at that moment, God came and he struck those queers blind. He struck them blind. Why? Because that's vile, and it's wicked, and it's reprobate. God struck him blind, and we live in a sex-crazed society today, and it's time for us to speak out against it. And I want to tell you where most of it comes from. It comes from a thing called a television. It's called a television. And some of you, you know, well, I don't watch prime time. You have to just burn that thing. You got to burn it. Most people won't say it, but it needs to be heard. There's some of you, you need to get rid of your television. If the one-eyed boss is going to destroy you, yeah, and that's easy for those of you that live in the dormitories to say, but what are you going to do when you go home? What are you going to do when you go home? Some of you married men need to go ahead and get control of your family and throw that thing out in the trash. Shoot it with a shotgun. Don't you be piping all that garbage into your home. You say, well, I can control it. I doubt it. I doubt it. I can't. I know better. If I had one, I'd watch all the garbage. We need an old-fashioned revival just throwing that thing away. We got to drive the streets of this place this afternoon and find TVs in the garbage can. I mean, throw it out. You say, but that thing's valuable. Your life's valuable. Your purity's valuable. And we need somebody that'll say something about the television. Get rid of those things. You know, our country faces syphilis and they did years ago. You know, one of the things that will happen if you get syphilis is you go blind. But not only that, so will your children. Your children have the right to see the purity of God's creation. They're not going to see it if they got their eyes glued on that box all the time. But what would I do? Try reading your Bible. Try reading the book. Well, my wife's at home all day alone. She's not at home all day alone. If you got a television, she's with a bunch of whoremongers. They're going to teach her to go to bed with somebody else. Now, we need a revival in this area. God struck them blind. Why? Because they were the way they were living, sex sins. In America, we need an old-fashioned revival of purity. In America, we need to stop burning flags and start burning fags. It's about time somebody said what needs to be said. It's vile, it's reprobate, and AIDS is a curse sent from God. It's a curse sent from God. You say, well, you shouldn't say that. Well, don't you say it. I will. It's my turn. We need Hunt a Homo Week. We do. You know, that straighten it up, just put it on television, brother. Put it on television, that put them back in the closet. I'm going to tell you something. Those of you that are yelling and screaming and shouting, the reason they came out of the closet is because there weren't enough men on the other side of the closet to keep them in. You'd be a man, we wouldn't have that problem. You know, we just take them all out and shoot them with a scatter shotgun. You say, you ought to love one another. I do most of the time. But you know me. You've got to get it off my chest. You know, if we shot them all with a scatter shot gun, I could see the TV cameras. They'd all be zooming in saying, Mr. Owens, what happened here? Look at all those spots all over them. I'd say, yeah, they died of chicken pox. It happened. You know, there's some of you that, yeah, I'm not dressed like those queers. You could not talk me into trying to dress like one of those faggots on the front of GQ magazine. You could not. There is no way. You know, there are certain things I'm just not going to wear. You say, well, you need balance in your life. I'll get it some other way, but I'm not going to dress like a fag to get balance. Being like a faggot isn't part of my balance. I'm sorry. If it's part of yours, go ahead, pal, but stay away from me. Don't be coming up and giving me the old loose wrist, soft handshake. Get away from me. Thinking, you're gonna shake my hand, son. You shake it like a man. And you move on back to where all the queers live. I've got a new term I come up with. I want to go down in history for it. It's for Madonna and all the Jezebels and whores of Hollywood. I figure that we ought to give prostitutes a new name. I want to call them lot lizards. I think that's a beautiful name for prostitutes, lot lizards. And that's what they are. And ladies, you ought not want to dress like them. Men, you ought not want to dress like Hollywood. You ought to stay far away from that. You know something? These people were struck blind because of that. Boy, are they blind. God wants us to be pure. God wants you to go to the wedding altar pure. Man and woman alike. God's plan was one man for one woman. You know, we thought the answer was to tell everybody safe sex. No, the answer is tell everybody no sex until you're married. And then stay married. Stay married. Stay married. Stay married. Divorce is sin. Has anybody told you that lately? Divorce is sin. You're not to get a divorce. But what if? Well, marry the right person in the first place. Now, if you're divorced, you can't change that. But if you get married again, stay married. Stay married. You know, if he or she will not be pure with you now, be true to the principles of purity now, before marriage, they won't be true to the promise of purity made after marriage. It's the breaking of principles that's the problem. Not living by principle. You better be pure now if you want him to be pure later. What you're doing is you're saying, well, it's all right to mess around if you're not married to someone. You're giving him permission. You're saying, that's okay, I don't mind. Right now it's with you. Later on it's with her. And when you're married, you're not going to like that very well. And the Bible teaches us that when the queers tried to get to Lot's family, God struck them blind. And for God to take somebody's sight away, it must mean it is a very vile sin. And it's a very vile sin that we're facing in America. A lack of purity. Secondly, I see a time we need to leave that. I see a time in the Bible where some people were struck blind because of touching God's man. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 18. We'll read it in a moment. The story is Israel is versing Syria. Ben-Hadad had an army, and Ben-Hadad's army kept on showing up to massacre the Israelites' army, but when he would get there, there wouldn't be anybody left in camp. So Ben-Hadad said, how is it every time we go to fight those people, we're going to go to massacre them, we're going to sneak up on them, they're not around. They're not where they're supposed to be. He said, we must have a spy among us. And somebody said, no, it's not a spy. It's the man of God, Elisha. He keeps on tipping them off. And you got to picture it. They were kind of upset. Here's a mighty general, and he's got all of his men, and they're surrounding the camp of the Israelites, and they're thinking, boy, I'll tell you what, in the morning we're going to get out there and just whip the fire out of those boys. We're going to beat up on the preacher boys. We're going to give the Baptists a run for their money tomorrow. We're going to nail them. We're going to get them tomorrow. So we're going to get up about 4 o'clock in the morning, and we're going down. We're going to surprise them. We'll kill them all. About 2 o'clock, Elisha would show up in the camp and say, I want you to just gather the things that you need. We're leaving. We're going to take a little walk. He'd lead them all out of camp. That morning, the Syrians would wake up and say, okay, you guys ready? Shh. All right, get ready, you guys. Really, let's give them some real war hoops, okay? Wait, you know, swing your swords and your spears and run into those tents and we're going to massacre them. They don't know we're coming. Picture these guys, great, big, tough, strong men. They're running down and out. Yay! Run into tent, see a little note, said, we're gone, sucker. Can you imagine how much of a fool they felt like? And that's what happened. And they said, what's happening here? Do we have a spy? And someone said, no, Elisha. Elisha's tipping them off. He said, fine, we'll just take him on. So he took his army and he went to Dothan and surrounded Elisha's house. Elisha got up in the morning, you had him a cup of coffee with caffeine in it. Yeah, if you're going to do something for God, do it all the way. And if you're going to drink coffee, drink pure coffee. Got to be pure. And he got up and he had him a cup of coffee. He looked out the window and he was surrounded. He was surrounded. You know what the Bible says happened? They were going to attack God's man. The Bible says that God smote them with blindness. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 18, the Bible says, and when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite these people, I pray thee, with blindness. And God did it. It didn't say that exactly, but that's what God meant. And God did it. You mess with God's man, you've just taken on a majority. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 22, it says, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophet no harm. No harm. No harm. Do not mess with God's man. God said, you mess with my man, you're going to get hurt real bad. Now, God loves you, and he didn't want to do that, so he tells you up front, don't mess with him, because if you do, I got to fulfill the parts of the Bible that I've already committed myself to. You can't mess with God's man and get away with it. Never harm them. Never harm them physically. Be very careful to be appropriate with the man of God. You don't walk up and slap him on the back and kick him in the shins. You do right by the man of God. You treat him with dignity. You treat him right. I'll never forget my preacher sat down with me one day and told me a story. He told me about when he had started not Brother Hiles, but a pastor that I had years and years ago, probably 15 years ago. He said, Jeff, he said, I'll never forget one night I was on a basketball court with a bunch of men from our church. A man was very upset with me because of something that I believed and that I preached. He said, while everybody was running up the court, that man come up to me and took his hands like this and hit me on the back and nailed me and laid me just flat on the court. I got up and the man said, preacher, it's coming again. A little while later, he got it again. Preacher, I didn't know what to do. He said, Jeff, within a year's time, after that man did that, he said that man was divorced. His wife had ran off with someone else. One of his children had died in a tragic accident. And to add to it, the other teenage daughter ended up pregnant out of wedlock. You say, you think that's connected to messing with God's man? I don't know. But I got a hunch. You better not mess with God's man. You better never touch God's man. You better never lay a hand on God's man. You better never even think about it. Don't you touch them physically. You better not harm them with your words. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23. 24. The Bible says, and he went up from thence unto Bethel. And he was going up by the way. There came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the woods and tare 42 children of them. Here's a man, here's some children that spoke against the man of God. And God sent she-bears, and 42 of them were tore to shreds. That's in the Bible. That happened. It's not a fairy tale now. This really happened. You better never use your words to attack or to hurt the man of God. Never, never. You know where children learn things like that? From parents. See, what I picture is that they were on the way home from church on Sunday night. They're all in the car, and Brother Hiles had just preached on making up your back tithes. I'm glad that there was a day in my life when I made up my back tithes. It took me 2 years and a lot of overtime, but I paid them off from the time I started earning money. I paid every penny of it off. But you see, I can picture them riding home, and both Mom and Dad were in the front seat talking about how the preacher got out of line a little bit, and how the preacher just didn't have the right to say what he said. See, I looked around the auditorium, we started preaching on that last night, and I watched some of you usually say amen, drop your head a little bit. I can picture what you had for an after-church snack last night. You roasted preacher. I don't agree with that. Children learn that from Mom and Dad. Some mom and dad taught that little boy or those little boys out there teasing the preacher. The preacher wasn't important, and the kids attacked the preacher with their words. I'm sure some mom and dad regretted that afterwards. Don't talk bad about the preacher. Don't ever try to harm his influence. You may go blind. I know one that did. You know, if we could research the lives of the people that have attacked Brother Hiles, I think you would find tragedy after tragedy after tragedy and after tragedy. Just check up. You say, I don't like to hear that. You need to hear the truth so you never mess with the man of God. Never mess with the man of God. You say, well, he's not always right. Nobody's always right. Jesus is always right. And Jesus is right. You're not to mess with the man of God. You're not to mess with him. One of these days you'll wish they weren't messing with you, and it'll just be the fruit of what you're reaping because you messed with the man of God. Struck blind. Struck blind for what? Sexual sins. Struck blind for what? Messing with the man of God. I see another time in the Bible when people are struck blind for hindering others from getting saved. Struck blind. Turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 7 through 11. I'm still awake. You still awake? Acts chapter 13. Seven through 11, the Bible says, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Now here's what happened. This man, Sergius Paulus, had called for the preachers. He wanted to hear the word of God. I think he needed to get saved. Elymas, a sorcerer, interrupted while the men of God were trying to get the gospel to Sergius Paulus. The Bible says that this sorcerer was smitten with blindness. Anytime you get in the way of people getting saved, you're messing in dangerous territory. Very dangerous. You know, on Sunday night, you thought that it was your business if you wanted to talk during the service. The only problem is the lost person sitting behind you needed to hear the gospel. And while you were sleeping, he was laughing at you instead of looking at the preacher. And he needed to look and live, but he was looking and laughing while you were sleeping. You better not get in the road of people getting saved. You thought you could play around, but you should not play around. There's too much at stake. The lives and the souls for eternity, the people that are lost are at stake. When you disturb in Sunday school, you may keep somebody from getting saved. When you disturb during the preaching, you may keep somebody from getting saved. That's a good reason just to stay awake. You know, it's one of the funniest things in the world to watch somebody fall asleep. It's great. I'll never forget Chris D-Boy. Don't send him the tape. He was a buddy of mine. We were sitting in church together one day, and it was invitation time, and Chris had laid his head down, and we had like a little rack on the back of the pew, and it had little just little boards across it, to hold the songbooks in, like a little shelf, but there was a couple little boards that would hold that songbook in. Chris had laid his head down, and he was praying. And he was holding on to one of those boards. And the service ended. Chris was still praying, you know, getting right with God. And the preacher said, "All right, let's go home." The minute the preacher slapped the pulpit, Chris set up. But when he set up, he brought the back of the pew with him, tore it right off. Here we go. You know, there he was with half the pew hanging onto it, attached to that board. Now, you know, people watch things like that. There are a lot of lost people that are watching you fidget during the service instead of listening to the man of God. You better not get in the road of the preaching of the gospel to the lost. Now, Brother Hiles just finished a series of sermons on enemies of soul winning. And you ought to be very careful, and you ought to take those things very, very seriously. It's evident that God brought blindness to a man that got in the road of people hearing the gospel. And so I think it's very important what Brother Hiles preached and when he preached against Calvinism. Better watch out not to get involved in that stuff. You may end up blind someday. You'd have to be blind to get into it. You better watch out when you get messing around with the Lordship salvation people. You may end up blind someday. You better watch out getting involved in dispensationalism. You may end up blind someday. You better watch out getting involved with the universal church people. It may be you'll end up blind someday. You're not going to get in the road of people getting saved and get away with it. God said the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now get out of the road. Now get out of the road. I wonder about your life. I don't believe that you should practice lifestyle evangelism and that alone. But I think you ought to live right. I believe in confrontational evangelism. I believe in going out and getting people saved and telling them they're sinners and that sinners go to hell and that Jesus died for sinners and they need to trust Him. Point blank. But I also believe you ought to live a life worthy of being called a Christian. Now, some of you, people look at your life and they say, "If that's Christianity, I don't want it." You got to live your life in such a way that it would not cast shadow on the church or on the college, especially on Jesus Christ. You may go blind someday. Struck blind. Struck blind. Why? Because of sexual sins. Struck blind. Why? Forget why. Because of touching God's man. Struck blind. Why? Getting in the road of people getting saved. Fourthly, struck blind because of pride. Struck blind because of pride. This one, I think, is a little bit different than the others. Acts chapter 9, if you'll turn there. The story of Saul or Paul being saved. Here we know that Saul, who was a persecutor of Christians, was on the Damascus Road. While walking, suddenly a bright light came and Saul said, that the voice from the light said, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And Saul said, "I'll do anything you want." The Bible says at that point, Paul had fallen to his face and he was blinded. Let's look at Acts chapter 9, verse number 8. And Saul arose from the earth. When his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. So here Saul and God had exchanged words for a moment. When Saul got up, he was blind. Why? You know what God's instruction to him was? God blinded him and said, "Now just follow. Now just follow. Just follow. Just do what, from this point on, you're just going to have to follow. You can't see. You're going to have to follow." See, I believe that Paul was sent to the Jehovah School for the Blind. You see, he needed to go to the place where they teach proud preachers how to follow. You see, Paul was a political leader. Paul was an educated man. He was a man that had a lot of power, a lot of ability, and he had saw many things done before and saw things built before. But the problem was, he had to do it God's way, and if God did not get him to follow, Paul might try to do his own way. So God said, "Paul, the place you need to start your education is you need to be blinded and you need to go to the Jehovah School for the Blind Preachers. You need to be blind and just follow." You know, I noticed something about this. They led him by the hand. Some of you, you say, this school treats me like I'm blind. Saying, lead me around like a child. And that's what God had to do with Paul. But look what Paul did. Look what God used Paul for. Why don't you let us take you by the hand and show you the way to success? Some of you, you wouldn't offer your hand to be led. You already know it all. Maybe you ought to go ahead and take your place by the right hand of the Father real quick. It might be we know something that you don't know. God blinded him to force him to trust God's leadership. God had him taken by the hand and led around for a little while. And some of you need to be led around for a little while. You say, well, not me. You're probably the one that needs it the most then. You're not going to understand everything about our rules. Just follow them. Just follow them. You're not going to understand everything we say. Just do what you're told. Just follow. Just follow. Just follow. Is there anything wrong with following? Just do what the rule says to do. By the way, if it's true that you say, that rule book, that handbook, that thing, I tell you, there are so many rules in that. That is incredible. I've got news for you. That rule book is petty. Have you stopped to see the thickness of this one? Good night, that's there for the petty Christian. That's there to keep you away from trouble. This one here, you talk about, this thing is far from the rule book. If you were living this, that rule book would mean nothing. I mean, that'd be little. That'd never even come into focus. You may not always see everything that we see. But some of you just need to follow. You know, the reason that you came here is because you thought we knew something you didn't. So why do you act so shocked when we tell you you were right? I want to go there. They've got something I need, and I'm going to get it. And when I get there, I'll have it. And you get here, and we say, you don't know this. You say, I do too. I know everything you're teaching. I've already got it together. Don't fight it. You know, I know that I'm not real smart. You know, I seek counsel all the time. I want somebody to lead me. I ask questions of people. You know, you could ask Brother Sally. I go to him often. I say, tell me, what should I do? I don't know what to do. And he advises me. I go to Brother Paulson. I've asked Brother Scott. I've asked Brother Young. I've asked Brother Moore. And, you know, they all got something to offer me. I'm just a blind young Christian, and I want help, and I want to learn. Help me. I admit, I don't know very much. Teach me. I want to learn. And some of you, you don't like it that we expect you just to do what you're told. You probably need to go to the Jehovah School for Blind. Did you know, I've come to a conclusion. Brother Heil's wisdom and advice at its weakest would come closer to the will of God for my life than my own personal wisdom at its best. You know, if he totally blew it with the will of God for my life, we're going to get closer than what I'm going to get by using everything I've got to get me there. Paul just needed to be blinded. Why? Because he knew too much. He's too big for his britches. You say, Brother Owens, I just don't see it the way that you do. All right, then don't lead, because we don't need the blind leading the blind. Struck blind. Some of us just need to follow. We need to purify ourselves. We need to follow leadership. Don't ever tear it down. Father, bless us now. Help us to live for you. And God, I pray, if someone's mistaken me today, and if it's my fault, I apologize. I would never want to do that. Father, I want to help the people in this room. I pray that you would help me to help them. Lord, help me to keep my eyes on you, to turn my eyes upon Jesus. Help each of us to look into your wonderful face. And the things of earth would go strangely dim. Bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen.